Hello again, everybody. I came across an article at Quillette a few weeks back, which I wanted to take a look at, but one thing or another got in the way. But here we are, finally. Quillette's history is a short one, but it ties in with my opinion that after what people call the Great Meme War of 2016, certain parties decided that the SJWs are useless as frontline troops in a war of narratives. After that, what we saw was certain parties promoting prominent classic liberal types, and a lot of them are involved with Quillette, the supported. People like Jordan Peterson, Steven Pinker, Sam Harris, Dawkins. This broad clique of public intellectuals who are far more slick and sophisticated than the crazy SJWs. The purpose of the dark web, so-called intellectuals, is to acknowledge that social justice warriors and cultural Marxism in general are mad as a box of frogs, but that Europeans shouldn't go full fash, but listen to arguments based on individualism, science, and classic liberalism in general. This article is quite typical of the fare Quillette has to offer, which is called In Defense of Scientism. So he says, in what follows, we will defend Tyson, Neil deGrasse Tyson, he means, and what is often called scientism more generally, using, where appropriate, the analogous term science-based social policy. Science-based social policy is the view that social policy should be based on the best available theory and data. In other words, that social policy should be decided using the weight of evidence. So scientism is the idea that ideology should be stripped entirely from the discourse, or at least marginalized, and that decisions should be made based on data and scientific fact. And he continues, the version of scientism we will be defending here is the version advocated by Pinker, Harris, Dawkins, and Tyson. The simple contention that we, as a society, should use the principles of science, skepticism, experimentation, falsification, and the search for basic explanatory principles to determine, however clumsily and slowly, how the world works and what the best and most effective social policies are. If we want to determine the best marginal tax rate, he goes on. So what they're saying here, which is fully in accord with classic liberal values, is that the data, the evidence and facts should drive policy. Scientism concedes that humans are not entirely rational. In fact, this is simply a matter of science, and so therefore, this is the policy which they would, based on current evidence, adopt. As Daniel Kahneman has argued in his 2011 book, Thinking Fast and Slow, many of the passions and biases are well understood and have been thoroughly studied by scientists using the scientific method. In fact, the best modern psychological theories recognize that humans are nepotistic, tribalistic, status-driven creatures. Holding scientism to its own standards, then, we can expect their own data to back up ethno-nationalist movements, because not only is that the human norm, but their core values system proves why. But the only person even remotely resembling an ethno-nationalist in this group is Steven Pinker. And, we can't mention that. In fact, the Quillette article then goes on to explain, today's most preposterous policy proposals, i.e. those that resemble the blank slate optimism of the French and Russian revolutions, usually come from those who are ignorant or willfully deny the conclusions of modern evolutionary psychology. This is Kevin MacDonald's field, by the way. Not from those who are immersed in and promote science-based social policy. But then we run into the reality, which is Richard Dawkins and how he views the world. This is man, I mean, this is an interesting juxtaposition of Dawkins' ideas. The only black person he's mentioned, the first one which came to his mind, is a political revolutionary. So this raises the question of why European civilization thrived and Africa didn't. But Dawkins won't go there. In fact, he's arguing that there's not biological differences, so logically, there shouldn't be any cultural differences either. But there is, And since biological differences have been removed from the discussion, then people are only left with left-wing social sciences. And left-wing social scientists are going to argue that Africans are the victims of European exploitation. And so it begins. The exact thing scientism was supposed to guard against slips in through the back door because of the weakness and dishonesty of these public intellectual scientists themselves. The Colette article then tries to preempt criticism of scientism. So it's point number three. Scientism cannot determine values and therefore is a poor guide to the good life. Once we have identified a desirable end, human flourishing, we can and should use science to discover and promote the policies that encourage it. Put another way, science can and absolutely should tell people how to live. Okay, human flourishing is all very vague, isn't it? Who doesn't want human flourishing? And once again, we can see what they're doing here by going back to our old friend, the Mott and the Bailey. So nobody is going to disagree that human flourishing is a good idea. That's a very easy position to hold. So it belongs in the Mott. The Colette writer sitting firmly in the Mott with a moderate opinion few would challenge. The problem is that whatever scientism offers as a policy will be firmly down in the Bailey. The Bailey's where the radical views are. Because humans aren't rational and decisions have been made, which means any solution to the problems in the West will automatically alienate masses of people. So let's take a look at how scientism could deal with human flourishing in Africa. To say we must help Africa is a moderate view sitting in the Mott. So now it's policy time. Scientism can go down the road of what people call race realism and draw conclusions from that. But then they'll have to get the James Watson treatment and be run out of town. The other option is for scientism to go down the road of left-wing social sciences and blame Europeans, colonialism and history for the situation that Africans find themselves in. The point here is that despite what these public intellectuals claim, they aren't neutral. They are not above and beyond the zeitgeist, simply presenting facts rationally. What we see time and time again is left-wing liberal ideas piggybacking their way into the discourse on the back of science. Richard Dawkins and me are at opposite ends of a debate which is tearing Britain and then further afield the West in general apart. But let's just stick with Britain. I know, for example, Dawkins will view me as a petty-minded little Englander bigot. He sees people like me as throwbacks who sit in English shires yearning for a way of life long gone. From Dawkins' perspective, human flourishing is being held back by people like me who vote for Brexit. We dream of once again having an identity in a homogenous nation. The clock, he thinks, we will set the clock back permanently to 1952 and we'll pull a shield over England and dwell forever in pastoral bliss. I fully understand the criticism of the dark web classic liberal crowd. I'm aware of how they view men who think like me, and I get their arguments. The problem is I hold these opinions regardless. Hell, I could even go back and dig out the scientific data on tribalism and in-group preference. I could say, we have the science, now give us our England back. Of course, to use science to enact such a policy would be seen as an extremist position because it flies in the face of the zeitgeist. It would be a position down in the Bailey, which was unacceptable, beyond the pale. Not that it really matters, because the Enlightenment liberals will simply shelve their own data and facts when it suits them, as we just saw before. Can nostalgic visions of a perfect England from yesteryear be quantified and reduced to data? No, but that's not my problem anyway. It's scientism's problem. And their reaction to that is to treat us like a stubborn donkey they're trying to drag onto a new pasture. We refuse and complain. They pull harder on the chain. And so they have their own ideal of how we should live. If my ideal is the England of the railway children and wind in the willows, Then what is their ideal? What is their vision? Well, it seems to look something like Star Trek. In Star Trek, we see science and liberal values combining to create a future of rationalism and enlightenment, which is by virtue of itself ushered in the long dreamed of paradise where human want and greed has been finally overcome. All that's left is to use the science to promote the values across the entire galaxy. The problem, though, is that implicit in Star Trek and the liberalism of Dawkins and Quillette's article is that scientific materialism and progressive liberal ideology are bound together, that one automatically leads to another. This is a very handy toolbox to have if you're in the business of propagating a narrative, because you can always camouflage your agenda in empiricism. If top science man supports homosexual marriage, then who are you to disagree? Richard Dawkins knows far more about evolution than I do, so if he supports mass immigration and multiracialism, then who am I to disagree? How can I disagree? The fact is, though, you can pick apart scientific materialism and an ideology. Scientific materialism, they tell us, is non-political. It's just facts. And here they do have a point. An Islamic nation such as Pakistan has the nuclear bomb. Fascist Germany was more technologically advanced than liberal Britain. The problem here, the point here, is that scientific materialism and liberal ethics do not automatically and inevitably run together. Science can and is used within illiberal value systems. Science for them is just a tool to be used in order to further a certain worldview. The truth is, though, that science is also a tool being used by the Quillette, Dawkins, Pinker, Neil deGrasse Tyson crowd. The Star Trek vision of humanity's future has priority over scientific facts. They've taken thought, an ideal, from a subsection of a subsection of a subsection of humanity at a specific time and because of a specific philosophical path, and then said to all of humanity, "Behold, we present you with the future." The ability to flip a switch and have instant light in a dark room is great, but gay marriage doesn't logically follow on from that. Multiculturalism is not the natural conclusion of good dentistry. You don't need liberal values to travel space. And here's the thing, there's nothing rational about any of this. The dark web intellectuals have a vision of humanity which exists outside of and beyond science and rationalism. Men like me have a vision of how we want to live as well, but neither one of these ideals is based on science. The difference is men like me aren't hypocrites about it, and we don't have the backing of the globalist elite. Thanks for listening, folks. Remember to like and subscribe. If you're feeling flushed, you can buy me a pint down below. All the best.